Hello, my little bear cubs, and welcome back to another episode of Secondhand Therapy.
That's right, baby.
And we need to remind you,
the Maloney Ponies, welcome to the show. Yeah, this is of course the people's champ talking right
both
now.
Both of the ponies, welcome. all the bear cubs and his aunt and uncle, welcome to the show.
Wow.
We need to remind you, we're not therapists. We are not experts. We are not licensed in the professional field in any way.
That's right.
Okay, this is not professional advice. This is not a substitute for therapy. Thank you for listening. We have a Patreon. Go check it out. We would love some support. We're trying to get new microphones so we sound better for you guys. We're trying to upgrade some things, and we want to keep going to therapy. So if you like the show, if you watch the show, consider checking out check out therapy for sure.
Consider checking out therapy.
If you enjoy the show, go to therapy because you should, we are unhinged. Yeah. Check out Patreon. That'd be great. Thank you for being here. Here's the episode.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Also have a bit of a different philosophy when it comes to keeping people around.
Oh God. Yeah. Okay. Look, I'm a people hoarder. Is that a thing?
You're an everything hoarder. You discovered your gym shoes had a hole in them and said, I don't want to throw these out because what if I don't find comfortable shoes again?
Yeah. After I even got new shoes
that you loved.
Yeah, and I was like, ooh, should I throw these old ones out that have a hole in them and are crusty as fuck and I've had for 6 years?
Yeah, throw them out. but I kind of apply that same thing to people. I am a pretty staunch believer in not everybody is meant to be in your life forever. And I think that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep people around forever.
Unless there is like drama.
Unless there's like a big falling out or a
right.
big thing.
Yeah, but if there's nothing wrong.
You don't think you just outgrow people?
Absolutely.
Now, then what?
Do I cut them out of my life? No.
What do you do? What purpose do you guys serve for each other?
Well, kind of like the old gym shoes. You never know when you're going to need them.
Healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. I don't know why I do it. I mean, I know why I do the items in my life. It's because of anxiety, right? It's that feeling of...
We don't end the sentence with right because wrong. But go ahead. Right?
Oh, you're being a dick right now, right?
Wrong.
So, yeah, with items, it's anxiety of like, again, like what if this doesn't work out? What if I don't like it? What if, you know, that change that needs to happen?
Question.
Mm-hmm.
When you say anxiety.
Yeah.
You look so somber. I'm not going to be mean.
Oh, really?
When you say anxiety, uh-huh. Do you think what you're actually feeling is comfort and the desire to feel comfortable and safe?
Yeah, isn't that where anxiety lives, is in the uncertainty?
It's the uncertainty of
something new.
The future of the thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not holding on to a thing just in case.
Yeah, my anxiety is towards this new thing. So is that what you're saying? So I think we just have a miscommunication. So my anxiety is towards... If I throw these out and just rely on the new thing, mm-hmm. it might not be as good as the old thing, which is what you're saying, comfortability.
So fear of missing out.
Not fear of missing out. It is being comfortable and all these things with the old
uh-huh.
and fear of the new. And my anxiety is fear of the new. I think we're saying the same thing, only I think you're putting it, I think you think I was putting it in past tense, and I am referring to it in future tense.
No, what I'm saying is the way I understand anxiety, and I think the way I experience anxiety, would be throwing away the shoes before I have new shoes.
Oh.
That's anxiety. Having new shoes that you know are comfortable and still not wanting to let go of the old ones, I don't think that's anxiety.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. I think
that's something different.
Yeah, that's definitely comfortability. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of my problems with... I don't want to say change because I enjoy change. I enjoy evolving and all these things. Like, I enjoy that part of it. I think it's the swift change that I have a problem with. And you and I have talked about that before, where it's like a couple episodes ago, I was talking about like, oh, I'm just discovering this about myself with ADHD and all these things. You're like, yeah, you've known about it for a year. I'm like, yeah, but that's new to me to wrap my head around that. I'm still learning new things about ADHD and my behaviors and things like that. Mm. And so it is change and I am adapting to it, but I just can't flip a switch and be like, yep, throw those shoes out, get these new shoes, let's go. There is a moment of pause for me to go, what if I need those old fucking shoes? Or what if these new shoes aren't comfortable in a couple days? Then I'm fucked. Then I don't have shoes.
Damn.
Yeah. So I need a little grace period in between those, that shift and that change, for me to be comfortable in it.
So when you talk about needing a little bit of a grace period for change, you find that with applying changes to like behaviors for your mental health as well.
Oh yeah. Mm. Yeah. I can't, even if I have like an epiphany or something like that about like, oh, that's why I'm doing, you know, I can't just like flip a switch. It's not that easy for me. And I don't know if that is just me or ADHD or whatever the fuck, but it's something that I, you know, I don't know.
Mm.
Are you able to just like, that's it, let's do this now?
Yeah. I'm so logical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once.
Yeah.
Like once I journaled and I was like, oh, I felt better. Like I journal all the time now.
Yeah.
I just made the change. Like, okay, when my mind's jumbled, I go journal.
Mm. Like,
that's what I do now.
Also, I'm a little scattered.
Yeah.
I'm scattered all the time. Those videos on TikTok I see all the time. There's a guy that does these great ADHD videos about he'll be walking around and, you know, the subtitles, like, it's what it's like if you have ADHD. And it's just him talking over himself about everything. You know, it's just his, you know, you just see like him walking on the sidewalk and it's like, oh, look at that leaf. Oh, there's a soda can. I need to drink later. Did I eat lunch? That's my brain all the time. So if I journal once and I enjoy it or it helps, I'm like, oh, I'm going to do that every day. Then the next morning I wake up and my mind's going, hey, did you get this? How, you got to email that guy. You got to do this. And so journaling isn't in that filter for the next couple days. And then I'll go, oh, fuck. I was supposed to start journaling. That really helped me the other day.
So you don't have like a system to implement things to do for you? Haven't.
Routine's very hard for me. Even if I enjoy something new, it's hard for me.
Even if you know, like, if I follow these steps, I will feel better.
Yeah.
You just can't put the steps together and follow them.
Mm-mm. No.
Whew.
I mean, you saw today that email I sent that took me 30 seconds. I told you.
Yeah.
That has been in my inbox for a month and a half. And I think about it every 3 days, probably. I go, I got to email that guy back. It took me 30 seconds today. Could not do it. Needed it. Need. It was asking somebody for something.
It was an important email.
It was an important email. Couldn't do it. I just. It was on my radar, but also not in my. I wasn't able to pull the trigger on it for some reason.
And you haven't figured out what the reason is?
Nope. Nope.
Did it feel overwhelming? Or because like when you thought about like I need to email that guy, what stops you from being like
everything else I have to do that day? So things will just get jumbled in the task of the day. So in that same scenario I just mentioned earlier, it's just jumbled in that filter of like, I got to email that guy. Oh yeah, but you also have to do this. Oh, remember did you have breakfast? You got to do. Oh, you have therapy at 9:30, and so it just gets lost. And then later on in the day, I'll go, hey, didn't email that fucking guy. Oh, I'll do that. But I want to go for a walk because it's going to be about 4 o'clock. And then it gets lost again. And that goes on for days or weeks. Instead of just going.
What does this do?
I don't know, but I like it. But and so that's just what happens until either it's too late or I'm under pressure or it's whatever. That also happens with responding to people. Sometimes people will reach out and I'll go, okay, I got to text them back. And then days will go by and then weeks. And then there's, with that though, there's a shame that goes with it then. And then I go, I can't text back now. It's been a couple weeks. And then they'll reach out to me and then it's apologies. So sorry. I meant to fucking do this weeks ago, even though I've been thinking about it every day. Can't do it. I don't know why.
Oh, that makes me...
Yeah.
Makes me so angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's so simple.
Oh, hey, thanks.
I know. In my brain, I'm just like,
hey, what are you, dumb? Yeah.
I'm not trying to say you're dumb, but like for me, I'm just like, I think I got to do the thing. I'm like, oh, it'll take 2 seconds. Let me knock it out real quick.
Mm.
It's so simple for me.
You don't have the fuzz of everything else. It's like,
because I do get like, I have busy brain.
Yeah.
I think I had this come up in therapy today. I'm too logical.
Mm.
Like, yeah, if it comes up and I'm like, oh, this will take 2 seconds and this is on my list, 5 items down. If I can knock it out now, that's more efficient.
Mm.
And it's so simple to me.
I was trying to think, like,
are you dumb? I didn't say you were dumb.
It came off that way, just like, it's so simple, just do it.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. If it came off as if like when you tell somebody.
It's so
somebody,
simple to me.
Yeah, when you tell somebody like, oh, I'm depressed, like, well, just cheer up. I didn't think about that. Like, yeah. That's how it came off. I was like, oh, okay, I'm healed.
Yeah.
My brain, when I'm thinking, when these tasks do come in, because I'm not able to look at it as like, oh, that'll take 2 seconds. I'll knock that out real quick. For me, there's so much noise happening that it's like tuning in a radio. And it's all static until you hear a little clip of a song. That's a task. And so that song comes on, I'm dancing to that song. And then the radio fades out and I'm in the noise again. And I'm trying to just find my way back to another song. So that's how my brain works. Every once in a while a song will come on and I'm fucking dancing. And I feel great and I knock it out. And then it's fuzz.
I don't want this to come off the wrong way. That sounds like a miserable existence.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's insane what I've been able to accomplish with this fucking static.
And you're going to try meds.
Oh, yeah. Imagine.
But you also said, oh, yeah. And you were supposed to do it yesterday.
I was supposed to do it Monday.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah. Even something you're excited about. Like, yeah. I want to try it to see if it fixes and you can't do
even
it.
Even things that I'm excited about, even things I care about, even things that that I know were any of the, like, it just doesn't, that doesn't move it up or down the priority or the hierarchy or anything.
Damn.
We talked a little bit about this. I don't know when this was. I don't even know if it was on the pod. I'm sure it is, but... when I wanted to reach out to my friend and I was really missing him and I wanted to reach out and I just couldn't.
Yeah.
Days went by.
Talked about setting reminders.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that?
Sometimes I do.
What do you mean sometimes you do?
When the song comes on, I set reminders and
you have to do it one time. Monthly reminder.
Yeah.
How do you set reminders?
When I need them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever wonder Because I'm wondering it now.
Mm-hmm.
If any of this is tied into self-sabotage?
No, I would love to. No, because I have the desire to do these things. I really do.
Yeah.
If it is, it's not consciously.
Mm.
Yeah, if it is, it's not conscious, because why would I do that? I mean, I don't like me, but but that's...
Because you know what it is right now, and that's comfortable. Knowing what you're dealing with is comfortable.
Mm.
Fixing it and not having, for lack of a better term, the excuse, and it doesn't work out, and you fixed everything, then maybe you're just not good enough.
No, I don't think that's it, because other things I am working on and making progress, and this is more of like, my brain just doesn't work that way.
Mm.
I really wish it did. Yeah. I think that's the difference. I really wish it was different. Yeah, when I say on here, when we're talking about things not being on my radar, it's really not on my fucking radar. Some things are really out of sight, out of mind. And that includes people that I care about sometimes. And I don't know why I would want to live in that comfortability. You know what I mean? Or to not want to change that, because I love people so much and I care about them so much. And and it would directly, that specifically would directly conflict with my people pleasing. I need everybody to love me. So why would I want them to be mad at me for not texting them back or do whatever? It's like, yeah.
Yeah. I have an answer for that.
Sure.
Because I'm not saying this is what it is. It's just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone's mad at you for not texting them back, you then get to put in the work to make them love you again. And you get that.
No, because my shame overrides that. I am literally feel so much shame and embarrassment of not texting somebody back or calling them back that it's not about like, let me make it up to you. It's, I don't ever want to see you again because I've let you down. And I assume that you hate me and you never want to see me again. So why do I keep doing that?
It's like five times.
But I don't think it's a work my way back to your love. It is a, I assume that you never want to speak to me again. And I understand that. I let you down.
Damn.
Yeah. I'm fucked up.
Yeah. You are fucked up, huh?
Yeah, man.
Damn.
I think that is rooted in just likability on its own, about the struggles of being accepted so much and feeling left out for the majority of my life, of circles and friends and things like that. Then that is self-sabotage there, where I just assume they're writing me off.
So to ask you a question that you asked me, mm-hmm. in our last episode,
mm-hmm.
when you talk about you feel shame in that you've let them down, so you just don't want to see them again because you don't want to deal with it.
Mm.
How are you accountable?
Accountability is hard for me.
That's true.
Yeah, it's hard for me because it's shame. And again, that goes back into like working my way back into your love. I don't think that's possible. I think once you are mad at me or angry at me or upset with me, whatever you want to put there, disappointed, whatever, then that's your final decision. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, now that we're unpacking it, I think that's why I feel unsafe in a lot of these situations or conversations. Because if you get mad at me, oh, we're done. So.
And losing people is hard for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I want to be accepted, because I want to be loved, because I want to be. Seen.
So if you cut someone out because you guys aren't serving each other's lives anymore,
mm-hmm.
how does that mean you're not accepted if it's your choice to move on?
That's different. I'm okay with those scenarios.
But you don't do that. We just talked about that.
Yeah.
Why don't you do that?
Well, except, I mean, in drama situations, I do. Yeah.
But like, what about people you've just outgrown? That the only thing you have in common is history.
I think that I that's where my empathy comes in, and that's where my caring for people comes in. And maybe I care too much, or maybe I have too much empathy, and I always look for like the potential in people rather than the reality in them. And so it's probably there's a little bit of, I know there is. There is that piece of me that goes, I can help them. I can help them figure this out.
Mm-hmm. What would happen if you quit doing that and helped yourself figure it out?
Yeah, that's the problem. I don't know. If I remember.
No interest in finding out the answer to that?
Yeah, that'd be great. I don't. Cutting people out of my life.
And also, I would like to, cutting people out is not, we're not talking about like, we're talking like you outgrow somebody and you're just like, where you text each other happy birthday and that's like it. Or you check in twice a year. If you're just like, well, there's no purpose to this other than it's habitual.
Yeah.
Not like a cutout of like, this person's got to go, they're cancerous.
Yeah.
Just for listener. I know you understand, for listener context.
Yeah.
Just letting go.
I think that is difficult for me, because I strive so hard to be accepted. And if you accept me, well, then we're in it for life. Because I don't feel accepted in a lot of.
So even if it doesn't serve you anymore, you'd rather keep somebody around because you feel accepted by them.
And I also care about them and love them. And want the best for them. And so, again, it goes back into that helping thing, too. So, yeah, it's probably, it's multiple things here, multiple truths. Yeah, but, yeah, I feel like, yeah.
So, like, the people in your life, like, if you have friends in your hometown from high school or something
mm-hmm.
that you have nothing in common with, you check in once a year, how is that helping them? What are you helping them do?
What if they need me for something? I want to be available for them.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's it. What if they need me?
What if you need you?
Well, I'm last on the list. We know that.
So yeah. how do you expect to be able to help people if you're not taking care of yourself?
I think that's even better, because then I can give all my energy to and love and everything else to them. Because I don't need it.
You don't need it?
That's my mindset.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a, oh God. You're gonna hate this. There's a Noah Kahan song.
Okay.
And I know how you feel about him, but there's a great,
I have no ill will towards Noah Kahan.
Okay, he's great.
Our friend Ryan M. Brewer.
Yeah.
Same thing.
But Noah has a great line where he said, I found out that my tank runs just fine on empty, so I'm going to drive all night. And that is directly how I feel. Mm-hmm. I find out that I'm last on the list, and I'm still here. I'm still surviving. So drive all night, baby. I know. What is this little new twitch I've developed? But yeah, that's what it is. I've never related to something so hard than that.
How uncomfortable are you right now?
Not really. Mm. Why? Do I seem uncomfortable?
You seem very guarded right now.
Really?
You keep that keeps happening. Your hands have, your right hand has not stopped.
Yeah.
You seem very, very guarded.
Yeah, because I know my behavior isn't, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I'm not at the point where I can change this behavior yet.
What's wrong? What behavior?
Putting myself last and keeping people around and that you outgrow. And like, I know that's not healthy behaviors and I have no good excuse for it. And so I almost did it. So I'm just, I feel a lot guarded right now because. Yeah.
Do you feel under attack?
Not under attack, but okay. Just, yeah, like I said, I just don't have it. I know it's wrong and I'm continuing to do it because I don't know. I'm not at that. I'm working on so fucking much.
Yeah.
That, well, again, I'm putting myself last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you and I have had this conversation. Yeah, you want so many things to change, but you just, it's so hard for you to make changes.
Yeah.
And there's some of you wish so many things, but you just won't, you can't pull the trigger on some things.
Yeah.
I really feel for you.
It's also part of that fuzz, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, that growth and evolution and all that stuff is mixed into the fuzz, the radio fuzz, where it's like, again, I feel, and we've talked about this so many times, I feel so overwhelmed with the work I'm doing and trying to do. And it's just, it's so much. And every week, more items keep getting added to the list.
In therapy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, what now? Okay, this other thing? Okay. It's exhausting. And I am making progress, and that's the shitty thing is like, yeah. I've been feeling really good about the progress that I've been making lately, and I've been feeling more confident and feeling more like myself, and I've been speaking up for my needs and getting outside of my comfort zone and saying yes more and doing all these things that I've been wanting to do and needing to do for a long time. And hey man, it's just not enough. There's more. There's always more.
What do you mean it's not enough? Not enough for what? For who?
For me. For you.
Well, it's never nothing. Here's
anybody to be listening to this and they're like, this fucking guy. Like, yeah.
The first one is the problem. It's never enough for you. Nothing's ever enough for you.
That's true. That's true.
That's what the problem is.
Yeah.
If you could figure out one thing in your life that it's enough, I think your whole world would change.
Yeah, I don't even know what that looks like.
Yeah. It's never enough clothes. It's never enough jackets. It's never enough experiences. It's never, like, it's never enough. You always need more and more and more.
Yeah.
We live in a society where it's endless.
Yeah.
Like, we have been programmed to never be satisfied. So we keep spending money. We keep working. We keep chasing the thing that isn't real. We're programmed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you know it's not real, but you're scared of what it feels like if you decide it's enough. And I don't know why. I can't tell if it's, you're going to feel like you lost so much time playing the game or chasing the things. I don't know what. I think you're afraid. I don't know what you're afraid of. I'm also open to the fact that I'm wrong. But
I don't know if fear is the... Because when I think about it, it's not like... What happens if I let go of that chase? Because I did that with comedy. And I feel so relieved. And I think it just comes back down to what it always comes back down to. It needs to be for me. And I don't know how to make things for me. All of these things, none of these things are for me. All those fucking clothes and the thing, like,
yeah.
That's not for me.
I know.
That's for other people to accept me.
Yeah, think you're cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what those are for. All the work that I'm chasing and all that stuff, that's for my peers to see how hard I'm working. All the accomplishments and the big things I do and whatever, that's for mom. And that's for her to be proud of me and let her know that I made the right decisions in my life and whatever. So none of this is for me. So yeah. I don't think it's a fear of, like, what happens if I let go of that and the chase is over. I think the question is how do I make that switch to have it matter to me? Because I just can't figure that out. I think that goes hand in hand with putting myself last and all those things. I think that's a fucking two-punch combo right there. Making things for myself or making things matter to me and not putting myself last.
Mm.
Making myself a priority. So, like, how the fuck do you do that? I don't know yet. I don't know yet.
We all do. Come on. You being serious?
I'm being very serious. I've asked this a bunch on this pod. I what's the answer?
Oh. Well, you do the things, you do the outfits so people like you. You do the things so your peers think you're good at what you do. You do things so mom's proud of you. Because if all that's true, then you're enough.
Mm.
And rather than just understanding that you're enough and letting go of all that, that's harder to do.
Yeah,
trying to get it externally.
I don't know how you convince yourself that you're enough.
Yeah, it's not a trick. I'd like to be clear. I do not think I'm enough. I'm working on it, but I understand that I have to do it. However many listens we get, however many views we get, however many likes, however many t-shirts we sell, that doesn't mean anything about me. Nothing. The success of this podcast means nothing. How many TV shows I get on means nothing. It doesn't have anything to do with what I'm worth.
Yeah.
I didn't ask to be born. We all believe we have to justify our existences here.
Mm-hmm.
Why? You think the trees are trying to convince the planet that they're worthy of the carbon dioxide and the water and the sun? No, man. They're just fucking treeing.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dog isn't trying to justify why she should get dinner. She's like, "Oh, feed me, bro. That's what we do." Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I do this because I enjoy it. And because I think it's a way that I could in one day be able to sustain my life with it. And it's something I enjoy and it's something in my control. And I don't have to be beaten down by some fucking corporation that doesn't give a fuck about me. I don't know if people understand, like, this podcast is a two-person operation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, this is it. You're looking at
we answer to no one.
Yeah.
And if it changed, I wouldn't do it anymore. I'm not going to do something I don't enjoy. I don't do this for fulfillment. I am fulfilled creatively by it. I do enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
If I wasn't, I wouldn't do it anymore.
Mm.
I enjoy it. I made the short film because I wanted to make the film. I had a story I wanted to tell. Some people think it's great. I'm sure some people think it's a big piece of shit.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do feel like I'm a shit filmmaker. But that doesn't matter because I made the film I wanted to make. And I have a lot of confidence in my taste. Like, I think I know I like good shit.
Yeah.
So I just... I don't know, man. I figured out that it's not going to come from anywhere else. I still haven't figured out how to find it in myself, but I know it's not going to come from anywhere else. I still don't know how to find it. Yeah.
So what is this meme you saw?
What?
Isn't this how you started? And then you see something and you said, this is the difference between you and I and how we look at things and philosophy. And
oh, we were talking, yeah, letting go of people.
Mm.
Yeah, I saw our buddy Nogan, shout out to Nogan, sent me a reel and just talking about, because like I've always had this staunch belief that like, not everybody's supposed to be in your life forever.
Mm.
Like, and I understand you outgrow people. And like, that's okay. It's okay to just like have a friend and be like, we're just not it anymore, huh? And they'll probably be like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you just go your separate ways, be like, dude, have a good life, man. And like, that should be okay. But the reel was about letting go of parts of yourself, which is kind of what I was alluding to with you.
Yeah.
Letting go of the ADHD guy. Just like you've struggled to let go of the comedian.
Mm-hmm.
You still talk like, dude, I'm on the road. I'm on, like, sometimes you got to let go of who you were for a while. You know, you're going to have to let go of the grieving son.
Yeah. 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 That's something I've been actively working on as well. And
I know you have.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was talking with you, letting go of people. I don't think you want to let go of the comedian. I don't think you want to let go of the grieving son. I don't think you want to let go of the fat kid from Ohio and the class clown and the prom king and the homecoming king.
Yeah.
You got to let go of that, man. You're 41-year-old Michael Malone now.
Yeah.
You're not that anymore. It's time to let it go.
It's so hard because they take up so much of my life and my identity.
Because you are letting them, or you want them to.
It's just who I am, whether I like it or not. It's who I was or am or
any of those. You get to choose who you are.
Yeah, but I don't get to choose who I was.
Yeah. So why you let go of it.
Yeah.
You choose who you are now. And if you make a choice that you're not great with, hey man, shed that one and you get to be whoever you want, man.
Yeah. Mm.
I think it's an Alan Watts quote.
I fucking love Alan Watts.
Yeah, something. It might not be Alan Watts. If it's not, shut the fuck up in the comments. but it was something along the lines of, "You're under no obligation to be the person you were yesterday, or even I think it was an hour ago or something like that. Like you're allowed to continually evolve."
Yeah,
yeah. It's a weird thing.
I was trying to think of how. I mean, yeah, I'm understanding the separation and the letting go of it, but I guess I have a hard time wrapping my mind around, like, I think of letting go of it as like forgetting it. And I think that's where I have a problem, where it's like, oh, I can't forget that I was the big kid from Ohio and I have all those acceptance problems because that was a big part of my life.
Yeah.
I can let go of that, but does that, What does that look like? Is that forgetting, or is that just... What does letting go look like to you when you say let go of that? What does that mean?
It means you're not the big kid from Ohio anymore.
How easy is that for you to let go of things?
Difficult.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, because you're saying it like it's just like a, hey, just let go of that. I'm like, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying just let go.
How?
Yeah. Every time you go, oh, I'm just a fat kid from Ohio. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You tell me all the time, put your name after it.
Yeah.
When you talk to yourself.
God, that's helping me out so much lately.
What if you went, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't hold on to everything, man. Especially people you've been.
Yeah.
Like that, the real, I don't know who was talking with the voice. I have no clue. Yeah. It could have been it could have been AI for all I know. But the point of it was, like, when you go through a really tough time, the person you become to get through that battle, you got to leave them with the battle.
Yeah.
You can't bring, because then you're just this hardened asshole.
Yeah.
And I struggled with that during grief. I was a real walls up, angry, hardened guy for a long time. And I didn't let go of that consciously, you know, therapy and, you know, you and reflection and my family and all that. But yeah, you can't, you can't keep versions and people you've evolved into. They're not forever.
Yeah.
They're just not. I don't want to be the in therapy guy figuring shit out the rest of my life. Like, I would like to evolve and let this go and be the guy who is implementing these things regularly.
Yeah.
I can't wait to become that guy. But to be that guy, I'm going to have to let go of this one. The dude who went to therapy every week and couldn't cry. And when he did cry, was confused by it. Like, I can't be that guy and the guy who's implementing these things that he's learned.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say it's, I reflect pretty often. Every 4 to 6 months, I will look back and be like, I don't recognize that person even from 4 to 6 months ago.
Yeah.
But my problem is holding on to those, the legacy characters,
mm-hmm.
the grieving son, the fat kid from Ohio. That's what's tough for me.
Is it guilt? Feel like you're abandoning them?
Or? With grief, absolutely.
Grief, yeah, grief,
yeah,
of course. Yeah,
abso-fucking-lutely it is.
Yeah, if you're not serving your grief, then you feel like you're not grieving.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, not true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It turns out.
Yeah.
Just learned recently.
Yeah, you can grieve without grieving being your entire identity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is with the... You know, it's probably a simple thing is excuse.
Safety.
Yep. Yep.
It's comfortable.
It's comfortable familiar. Because I'm you know, I'm doing this because I used to be a big fat kid, blah, 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 blah. Yep.
Yeah.
That's my excuse.
Yeah. You know how to deal with that.
Yep.
You know how to be the former big. That's easy.
Yeah.
That's comfortable.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. What if you let that go and that's not why you did it?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty fucking scary.